I like my article. It's pretty good. I wrote it entirely on my iPad. Almost entirely. On my iPad coming back from the Eastern Shore. My girlfriend's father was driving.
So I think what you should do next time your girlfriend's dad's driving around in the car, if you just go, oh, man, what's on the radio? You know, I do this podcast that you should totally listen to. Plug your phone into the radio jack and play What the Puck. I mean, we keep it PG most of the time. I think he'd enjoy it.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck! It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, I got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing great. The Capitals came out strong. We're going to talk about this game in depth here. Caps-Penguins was the last game to happen right before we recorded, and what a game it was. I mean, this season it really hasn't been that big of a rivalry with the Penguins because the Caps have looked so great against them.
They didn't play them for so long.
It took a while to get to it, and then the Capitals were able to blank them both times, and then this game happens. The Penguins do get one goal against Holtby. But let's talk about this game, man. Where do we even start? Because it was a crazy old school hockey game.
Well, the Penguins game was definitely an interesting situation. There's the goons on that team. There's a lot of, I don't know if I want to go so far as to say classless, but it was definitely right up there with some of the Penguins guys. We're just taking cheap shots and punching out some of the Capitals guys in the faces for no reason whatsoever, other than they were just a bunch of pissy little guys who were getting beat. And the Caps have played phenomenally against the Penguins. It's not just that. I mean, Braden Holtby has been amazing in these games, and a lot of credit also to Marc-Andre Fleury and how he played in last night's game against the Penguins. He was outstanding, but the Capitals are a better team right now in the way they've been playing. Some of that, the extent could be to injuries to Pittsburgh earlier in the season, but right now they seem to be going through a little bit of a slump, and the Capitals are playing exceptionally well. In 9 periods this season, the Penguins have scored 1 goal against the Capitals, while the Caps have scored 10.
Yeah.
That is a very big statistic right now in terms of how this season is going for both teams. When they play one another tonight, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they do in the playoffs. It's a totally different style. It's a totally different thing when you play each other in the playoffs. But it definitely will be one of those years where the Caps will at least be going in with a lot of confidence. But they, I mean, right now the Caps are doing great. They're 3-0 against the Penguins this season. They had a solid win over Anaheim where they were able to come out and play well. We're going to pretend the game against LA didn't happen because it sucked. It was terrible. But aside from that, the Caps have actually been doing pretty well. I mean, it's sort of this thing where they go and they play a couple of good games and then they have a bad game. And they play a couple of good games, and they have a bad game. We had that poor effort against LA, and they had those good games, and we had the poor effort against the Flyers before that, and, you know, they had a couple of good games before and after, and so it's, I mean, if that's where they're going to go, they're going to go 3 wins and a loss, or 4 wins and a loss, you know, you could do a lot worse. You could be the Buffalo Sabres right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and this was a pretty successful road trip. Since we talked last, we did cover the San Jose game, which was a win. The Kings was a loss, but then they also beat the Ducks and the Penguins. I want to stick with this Penguins game a little bit more. Of course, there was a big controversy with Ovechkin about whether or not that he slashed on purpose.
No,
I don't think
you're gonna piss. No, I don't think he did.
I mean, he was going for the puck. Yes, he did hit his skate, but I don't think it was a malicious hit. I don't think
it
was.
He's going for the puck. Yeah. He's going to knock the puck away from him, and he happened to get him in the skate. It's not the most skillful play on Ovechkin's part, but I do not think he was going to do it. First of all, players slash each other all the time. For people on Twitter who are going crazy saying, oh, Ovechkin's always been a dirty player and all that crap. It's BS. The guy was playing the puck. He was trying to go there, and he got the tang in the skate. It was not on purpose. Getzlaff can come off and make all those stupid comments he wants about Ovechkin being a diver and that BS, but he did the exact same thing. It was a two-handed slash to Ovechkin's skates. Let's not forget these guys are playing on ice, where it's much easier to fall down So in a situation where I think the people are going, oh, well, it's a situation, of course it happens with Ovechkin, so they're making the biggest deal about it because the media and fans in Pittsburgh and Canada want to go after him. But no, it was nothing malicious. He didn't do anything wrong.
They definitely did go after him. I even saw on during the game that somebody threw a beer and hit Ovechkin while he was on the bench.
Not just him. It was him and, what's his name? They call him Smitty. Greg Smith? The Caps trainer.
Uh-huh.
You always see him at the games. They hit both of them. He actually, Greg Smith, he actually tweeted about it afterwards, the game, saying the next time he would appreciate it, the fans would hit him in the mouth with a beer and not the shirt. Now, he said, for the record, Ovechkin and I took beer shower from a nice Pens fan. Next time, hit my mouth, not my shirt.
Yeah, not, they're not.
Classy move, Penguins fans. Classy.
Very, very nasty. I understand being upset. I understand trying to take up for your team. But pretty much, all right, so this slash on Letang. I agree with the Pittsburgh fans that he should have gotten a penalty. It was not called, but he should have. The hit into the board was not Ovechkin's fault. Letang lost his balance. I'm sure that hit to the back of his ankle did hurt, so that threw him off balance. But I think the reason he was taken off the ice and was down on the ice was because his head hit into the boards. That wasn't Ovechkin's fault. The Pittsburgh fans took it as Ovechkin's fault, but it was not.
Of course they did. Now, I don't want to sort of classify that all Penguins fans are classless or idiots, because that's certainly not the case. Every team in the NHL, including the Washington Capitals, has stupid fans.
Absolutely. And the people at that arena that night up against the Penguins and the Capitals, that place didn't know what to do. I mean, I'm not going to say everyone in that arena was booing and screaming the rest of the game, but they were crying. Every single one of those fans was just crying and was angry the rest of the game, and it was because their team was losing. Yes, that should have been a penalty. I agree with you. It should have been a penalty, Penguins fans, but they didn't call it. They missed a lot of calls last night. Your boy Sidney Crosby pushed Holtby after a fight was over, and he was just trying to get through.
That was ridiculous.
So, like, you can't complain about Ovechkin doing this and your boys pushing our goalie. The goalies were getting beat up. I mean, there were players going in behind Holtby, and Brouwer got called for goalie interference.
That for a second, real quick. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
Let's focus on the fact that Holtby, he gets shoved by Crosby, no call. Yes, it was after the play, which is irrelevant in my case. I think if you're going to hit the goalie like that, you should still get a call. Let's talk about the fact that the Penguins players are taking not runs at Holtby, but they're bumping him the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Brouwer, who doesn't even touch the freaking – I mean, he did a little bit, but not enough to really be interference. He gets a freaking penalty for that. It was ridiculous. The refereeing last night was pathetic. And Alan May's description of it after the game, calling it was he WWE or WWF style?
He said WWF. He's old school.
He's old school. The WWF style of refereeing – was a great comment, and it was a pathetic display by the referees the other night where they were clearly trying to keep the Penguins in the game. And it sort of goes back to the whole interview with, Puck Daddy, where you had the referee come out, I'm blanking on his name at the moment, but you had the referee come out and talk about the fact that the NHL wants to keep games close and things like that. And so having, you know, they went, oh, well, the Caps just went up. We need the Penguins to have a power play, get a chance to get back in this game. And it's pathetic. And I think a lot of credit also, not just with that BS-ness, but the reason the Caps are staying a lot of these games is because their PK is playing exceptionally well.
The penalty kill is doing a great job. The power play is doing a great job, because even though we're complaining about the officiating for this Penguins-Capitals game, it also is one of the big reasons why the Capitals won, because they got their game-winning goal on the power play, on the 5-on-3. So even though the refs weren't doing a good job, the calls that they were giving out at least went in the Capitals' favor, at least a little bit, because the Capitals were able to be on the power play. They were able to get the lead in the game and keep it. So whether or not the refs got every single call right or wrong, they at least were getting
a couple right, though.
They did get a couple right.
No, I'm saying you need to get a couple right.
Yeah. At least one or two throughout the night. But listen, this was a crazy game. The Penguins let this one get out of hand. They wanted to prove that they had the bigger balls than the Capitals. And instead of being focused on the score, focused on the game like the Capitals were, they let this one slip out of hand. They have no one to blame but themselves for losing that game. Because after that hit that Ovechkin had, that slash, all they wanted to do was say, we're big and bad. You guys can't come in here and do that. And the Capitals were like, do whatever you want, man. Look at the scoreboard. We're going to win this one. And they went home with a W. And that's what is important here, is that they were able to, in this late in the season, where it's quote-unquote a four-point game, the Capitals were able to come away with 2 points in regulation. They were able to go into Pittsburgh, show them how to play. play, and the Capitals were laughing it off. Like, the Penguins were trying to be all big and bad, and Eric Fair was laughing in their faces, Ovechkin was laughing in their faces.
I like that. I like that they're able to remain calm.
Yes.
When you've got these goons coming after them, and they were just kind of like, ha, yeah, whatever, dude, look at the scoreboard.
Although, at the time,
it was still 1-1, so that wouldn't have made sense. But the point is, they did a great job sort of just ignoring them. If they want to try and goad you into the fight, which is what they're trying to do, then you're gonna go and you're gonna get yourself a penalty and have a guy in the box. You play a little 4-on-4 or something. They did a great job remaining calm during the situation, and that they're able to do that and keep the Penguins on edge and trying to just pick fights instead of play the game the way they should be playing. And I think they did a great job.
The Penguins were able to goad Tom Wilson. He wasn't there for the last 10 minutes of the game.
I'm pretty sure anybody can goad Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I think Ovechkin and guys like Eric Fair, they're smarter than that. You can cross-check them in the chest.
Are you saying Tom Wilson's dumb?
Not that he's dumb, but like...
Dude, if he ended up hearing this podcast, you're in trouble.
Hey, if Tom Wilson is listening to this podcast, you know what? I will take a cross-check from him any day if I find...
cross-check is going to be the least of your worries.
He can punch me in the face if he wants. I don't care if he listens to the show.
Likely.
Come on, Willie Baby, come on this show. Hit me in the face. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, start talking smack. See how that goes.
Listen, all right, I'm not saying Tom Wilson's dumb, okay? I didn't say that. I'm saying that the Penguins knew who to go after and who they didn't want in this game for the rest of the time, because if they were going to try to bully somebody, you don't want the muscle like Tom Wilson to be on the ice as well. So they got him off the ice so they could try to push around other people. So it's kind of, you know, he's like the security guard of Ovechkin and Backstrom, which that brings me to a good point here. If you noticed, in practice, Burakovsky was on that top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, but when game time came, Wilson was on that top line, and they kept switching out Wilson and Burakovsky throughout the game, depending on who from the Penguins was on the ice. When we talked about the Flyers game, about how they weren't able to adapt and how they weren't changing things up to go up against the Flyers, because the Flyers obviously had the Capitals' number a week or two ago, Trotz knew what the Penguins were going to try to do with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and depending on who was on the ice, he was either going to have the fast guy who was going to be able to make crisp passes and try to get a goal, or he had the muscle, the guy who was going to protect your two big names. So I like the fact that Trotz was able to adapt to what was going on live as it was happening.
Well, I think that was the plan all along, where he knew that he was going to have a situation where the Penguins have a couple of goons on their team in LaPerriere and Downey. And so he knew that at some point he was going to have to throw Wilson out there to not protect the guys, but to sort of give the Penguins something to keep their back of the mind. If they take a run at Ovechkin or Backstrom, they're going to have Wilson's fist in their face. And it sort of kept the Penguins at bay in terms of, like, big hits and not trying to – they're just trying to goon it up with, like, little things and fist fights and after the slash. I mean, right after the slash, the unintentional slash to Letang, the Penguins was at next – puck drop, I don't know who it was, but he went right at Ovechkin and was trying to cross-check him, which, again, should be a penalty. But, of course, the referees ignored it. But I think they did a great job sort of holding those guys off. Wilson out there, it was nice to see. I don't think Trotz is dumb or anything. I think he did a great job by making sure he throw Wilson out there every once in a while to get a little grit, but also to sort of keep the Penguins at bay in terms of any overly goony or sort of classless stuff going on.
Yeah, and luckily the Capitals were able to leave Pittsburgh with 2 points. Luckily they were able to leave with, you know, all of their fingers and toes, and nobody lost a head or anything like that. I don't know what it was like leaving that arena that night, but no matter what, the Capitals were able to...
Well, it's not Philly, man, if you know...
I mean, it looked nasty up in Pittsburgh, so I was just happy they were able to get out of there alive. But luckily enough, the Capitals don't have to go to Pittsburgh again. There's one more game. It's next week. It's in D.C. That one's going to be a fun one to watch. It's definitely going to be one for the record book, so I'm excited for that. But overall, the road trip, it was the Capitals' longest road trip of this season. It was pretty much a successful one. They were able to come back and only have one loss on that road trip. So they were able to come away this past week, three wins, one loss. Not bad for this time of year. I was watching the NHL Network earlier today, and they said the Capitals are kind of in the wild card spot right now. It's them in Boston. But they said they're on the right column, but at any point the Capitals could jump over to that left column, and the Capitals are playing very well. So I was very happy to see the NHL Network saying good things about the Capitals, as well as pretty much them saying at any point this team could, you know, hop over the Rangers and the Penguins and come into being the second or third spot in the Metropolitan Division.
Well, it's certainly that opportunity. I mean, they're only a point behind both the Rangers and the Penguins. They have played one more game than the Penguins, and they played like three more games than the Rangers. So at some point, that game differential is going to even itself out. And so we'll see where they end up there. They're still 5 points behind the Islanders and play the same amount of games. So they got to catch up there and hope the Islanders lose a couple of games. But they're pretty set. Or, I mean, they're fairly safe at the moment. The Panthers are actually going on a bit of a streak right now. They're only 2 points behind Boston for a spot in the wild card, but they're 10 points behind the Capitals right now with two less games played. So the Caps are pretty safe right now in terms of a playoff spot. It's just a matter of who they want to go up against in the playoffs. And I think, you know, if you end up against the Islanders, it's a little scary. The Rangers, you know, a little scary. The Penguins, you're a little bit more confident just with the way you've been playing lately, but it's the Penguins in the playoffs, and things never seem to go well for the Capitals in that case. And so they definitely need to, you know, just keep going, keep getting ready, keep playing, keep getting points, and do as best you can to sort of get as many wins as you can so that you have a nice spot in the playoffs and get everybody ready. And I think the team is playing well enough right now. And I don't – they're not really on like a hot streak per se. They're just playing really well. So there's nothing that they have to really nothing they really have to worry about at the moment per se. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they have guys who are playing well. You still got that first-line right-wing spot, which is a question to some extent. You got people always talk about the team needing a second-line center, but I think Kuznetsov has filled in very nicely there. And then you have to decide what you mean about Mike Green. But other than that, and your backup goaltender is still a little shaky. I think Peters did well in that win over Anaheim. But aside from that, there's still a little bit of a questions there. But the team, you know, overall, the team's doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very happy with the way this team is playing right now. I think they're doing great. Barry Trotz has done wonders for this team. I don't even remember what it was. Alan May brought this up in the post show, saying that under Adam Oates, the Capitals up against the Penguins were being like outshot, outscored, everything. And then he brings up, you know, the 10-1 stat of this season. So it's definitely night and day with those two coaches, especially for up against a team like the Penguins. And they're kind of shown why this is such a great rivalry in the NHL. So always fun to watch. There's one last thing I want to bring up about this is I always thought we were talking about on Twitter, you know, how this is such a goon team. The Penguins are such a goon team and how much they've changed or whatever. I always felt as if, you know, hockey was cool because people could have fights and, you know, they punch each other in the face, but then they always shake hands at the end and or you know, pat each other on the back. Or even if they want to fight, they just kind of say, hey, you want to go? Okay, good luck. And then they kind of go for it. This clothing line that I'm a big fan of, and I have a lot of their stuff, Violent Gentlemen, is hockey-inspired clothing, and the whole thing that they're based on is respect. And it was kind of like back in the day when the Montreal Canadiens were up against the Bruins, and they didn't like each other, and two guys were fighting, but they still shook hands at center ice. The Penguins never show respect to the Capitals, ever. I mean, think about the Winter Classic in 2011. They didn't even shake their hands after the game. What they showed in Pittsburgh, you know, recently this week, also just no respect at all. I understand if you don't like each other, but really just, like you said, it was classless. It was a classless display by the Penguins. It's a game. You let your emotions get the better of you, but there's no respect there. And I think that you kind of lose a little bit of that luster. You know, it's kind of hard to tell people that this is a better sport than others if they're not going to have any respect. So, I that's one aspect I wish the Penguins would kind of work a little bit on, but if they're going to act that way, it kind of makes it even better when we beat them.
I mean, it certainly does. I think that you're exactly correct in terms of the no respect thing. You go back, every Winter Classic has had a handshake at the end, even the Caps and Blackhawks, and then you go and you see the Caps Penguins, well, the Penguins just skated away instead of going out and shaking their hands after the game. And then you look at things like last night. I understand if you want to have a fight. If you go back and just, you were talking about the Winter Classic before, in the 24/7 we saw with the Caps and Rangers were playing, and Dubinsky and Ovechkin had a fight, and then afterwards they sort of congratulated each other, you know, good fight, that kind of a thing. Not a big deal. You don't see that in the Caps and Pens. You see a bunch of guys who are a little pissy about it, and they're trying to goon it up and trying, I don't know if they're trying to injure, but definitely go after the Capitals last night. And the Caps just ignored it and were able to come out with a win. I think that's the most important thing. And let's talk about the Joel Ward goal, which, A, phenomenal goal, but B, Backstrom's pass was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that was amazing pass. Backstrom, again, one of the best players in the NHL that no one talks about, and that's exactly how he wants it to be. The guy does not want publicity. He just wants to go out there and play hockey. He is easily one of the best players in the NHL, and I believe he has the most points out of any guy drafted during his draft year, and that includes Jonathan Toews, someone the NHL loves to talk about. So I think he's been doing a phenomenal job. Having Backstrom on team is just, I don't even know what to say. The guy does a great job. He's very quiet about how he goes about it. He's not one of those guys that goes out and stirs up controversy. That's not to say that Backstrom's not a good player, because he has sometimes a controversy. I think a lot of that is born by the, or created by the media. But the point is that Backstrom was an amazing player. That pass was ridiculous. And Ward, in the right spot at the right time, was able to get him a goal and get him the game-winning goal. And did you notice Carlson's goal, CSN didn't even follow it?
Yeah, I was so confused.
Now, here's my question. You're a TV guy, and I was in college. Is that a fault of CSN, or is that the local Pittsburgh video guys?
That's the camera dude, because he did not follow that puck.
No, I know, but is he employed by CSN, or is he employed by whatever Pittsburgh's Fox Sports 1 or whatever the hell they have?
I think it's CSN, because they need to bring their own crew for their announcers, and they might tap into, like, the house cameras. So,
it's potentially a Pittsburgh bozo that did it.
Kinda, probably, yeah.
Okay, see that. All right, that makes a lot more sense.
Real quick, back on that Joel Ward goal. This was kind of interesting. You just made me think of this. I have a Capitals wall calendar hanging at my computer, and last month was Nick Backstrom, and there is an editor that I work with who is a Penguins fan. And him and I talk hockey. He's like one of the only people that actually knows about hockey in my office. So we talk, even though we don't like each other's teams. And he goes, you know, Nick Backstrom, he's like, I kind of forget that you guys even have him, you know, because nobody ever talks about him.
And he's very quiet, under the radar kind of guy.
And I said, that's what we like about Backy, because he's quiet. So a lot of people forget about how good he is. And you look at that goal and that pass from him. Fleury was, you know, completely out of whack with that. And you forget that Backstrom can do that kind of stuff. And I hope people forget about it, because that means it's good stuff for the Capitals. The dude's quiet, but he gets things done. And that's one of the reasons we love Backy. He's a great player, but he doesn't need all the flash and everything like Ovechkin. Could you imagine Backy at the All-Star game? You wouldn't be, you know, begging everyone to pick him last.
He'd be hiding in the background.
Yeah. He'd be hanging out with Phil Kessel.
Don't worry about me. I'm just here, guys. I'm just here to play hockey. I don't care about the rest. No, I think he's a great player on the team. There's a reason he's one of my favorite players on the team, and it's because he just quietly goes about his job. He's not out there for the spotlight. He's out there just to play hockey and you know, do what he needs to do.
Yeah. So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Last thing I want to talk about is the dad's trip that happened over the West Coast trip, which I thought was great. Not only just having the dads out there, I know the players always love that kind of thing. The Caps have been doing it for years now, but also that Trotz was not only smart enough, but sort of kind enough that he was able to go out and he made sure that every player got to play in at least one game, so that every dad, or I think I also had brothers on the trip as well. I think Ovechkin brought his brother. They were able to go out and see their son or brother play in at least one game. So I thought that was a really classy thing for Barry Trotz and his coaching staff to do.
Yeah, and somebody on our Facebook page, while the game was going on in Anaheim, sent us a picture and said one of the dads was wearing a Ravens like pullover sweater. And
I saw that.
I couldn't figure out whose dad that was, but great eyes by his name was Nick Brown. Great eyes by him, because I honestly completely missed that. So if he was able to realize they were wearing a Ravens sweater, I mean, man, good on them. Because I had no idea that was a Ravens sweater. So.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, I don't know whose dad that was or why they're fans of Baltimore, but I'm glad he's liking the Ravens, so good for him. if that's it for Caps World, yeah, like you said, the father-son trip, always a cool thing. A little weird, though, you gotta think about it. It was Valentine's Day weekend, and all the dads were partying in California with their kids. All the wives were at home, so
I think when you're that old, it's not as big of a deal anymore.
No, oh, yeah. Well, hopefully.
I'm just speculating.
Right. All right. So if that's it for Caps World, we're going to take a quick break and be back here with Down on the Farm. But before we get to that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Dan the Donkey, tell me what's going on down on the farm.
That one is terrible.
Well, I told you, I looked up animals that start with the letter D, and that was the only thing I could find that was on a farm. Danny the Didgeridoo.
I hope everyone enjoys the final episode of What the Fuck tonight. In the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Albany, Portland, and Bridgeport. Hey, they didn't play Lehigh Valley.
That's new.
Look at that. The Bears are currently enjoying a 13-game point streak, going 11-0-2.
Ooh.
Which is amazing. They currently sit first in the East Division with a record of 30-13-7, good for 67 points. Five up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and 1 point off of the conference-leading Manchester Monarchs. The Bears, one of the best teams in the NHL right now.
All right.
Bears play again on Friday in Binghamton, Saturday at home against the Giants, I'm sorry, in the Giants Center against Bridgeport, and then again on Sunday at home against Providence. So they're not even playing Lehigh Valley next week.
All right, maybe they're
What's
done.
What's going on at AHL?
Maybe they're done. Is it supposed to snow Saturday? That sounds like a good game. I want to go to Hershey this year. I haven't been yet. It's probably snowing every day.
I think it is.
Is it? I figured it would
well,
be.
Well, I don't know. It was too, it's with weather stuff, you're supposed to do 3 days in advance. Anything past that is sort of a guess. So it's kind of hard to say.
Right.
Moving on, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 5-0 with back-to-back wins over Gwinnett as well as wins over Evansville, and they already played Orlando back-to-back, where they won both of those. Stingrays are currently on an 8-game winning streak, giving them a record of 26-18-7, good for 59 points, which puts them in a tie for third place with Greenville, but it's still 12 points back of first place Reading. Now, weren't we just talking about how they were in like last place? Well, now they're in the tie for third, which is actually an impressive feat for them at the moment. The Stingrays play next on Saturday and Sunday at home against Greenville. I think Greenville, what was I saying last week? Someone was the ECHL version of Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
Is that Greenville?
I think so.
Apparently playing them all the time as well. It's freaking schedules are ridiculous.
So, so
that's what's going on down on the farm.
Reading is number one. They're in first place.
In the
is that what you said?
Yeah. Reading. Who cares? They're not our affiliate anymore.
Yeah, it's Reading.
All right. I don't care. They're not our affiliate. Right. Whatever. You purple flyers loving people. I don't care.
All right. Well, that's
keep
it.
That in the show.
That's it for Down on the Farm this week. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go, everybody. We are going around the NHL. Now, nobody was suspended last week. I was upset, so I'm hoping Coach Dan can help me out. Who hit who in the head? Who was suspended? What's going on around the NHL?
We do have some suspension to talk about this week, but we'll get to that later. Let's start off in Nashville, where the Predators acquired defenseman Cody Franson and forward Mike Santarelli from Toronto for forward Olli Jokinen, who I completely forgot had signed for Nashville until this trade went down, prospect Brendan Leipzig, I have no idea if I pronounced that correctly, and there's way too many vowels in that guy's name, by the way, and a first-round pick. Jokinen's actually pretty funny. Jokinen's wife tweeted shortly after saying something along the lines that she never did like mustard yellow. Very, very cute. Moving on. Ottawa signed defenseman Mark Methot to a 4-year extension worth a total of $19.6 million. Philadelphia signed defenseman Nick Schultz also to an extension. Terms of his deal were not released. Florida, here's your suspension, by the way. Florida defenseman Dmitry Kulikov was suspended for 4 games for clipping Dallas forward Tyler Seguin. Now, it looked like he tried to do a hip check. Dude, you're not Dmitry Orlov. You're not pulling off. It was bad. It was dumb. He messed up. He's going to be sitting out for 4 games. Ranger head coach Alain Vigneault earned his 500th career NHL win on Saturday, becoming the 21st coach in NHL history to do so. So congratulations to him. And finally, some sad news. This former NHL defenseman Steve Monitor died on Sunday. He spent 10 years in the NHL playing a total of 571 games. The undrafted free agent played for Calgary, Florida, Anaheim, Boston, Buffalo, and Chicago, amassing a total of 33 goals, 131 points, and 807 penalty minutes. Monitor was only 35.
Oh,
that's
God.
The news from the past week in the NHL.
Do they have any idea like what happened?
I do not know specifically. It wasn't in the article that I read, but I believe, and I'm not necessarily saying that there is a connection between the two things, but I believe I read that he was part of the lawsuit going on against the NHL involving concussions. So there is potentially something there revolving regarding that, but I would rather not speculate one way or the other.
God, that's so young. That's so sad.
I mean, he's 5 years older than me.
Yeah. Oh. All right, well, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. Wow, that's really sad news. so let's talk about the Caps games coming up this week. So here we go. On Thursday, February 19th, the Capitals are back at home in D.C. up against the Winnipeg Jets.
Just the Jets, sorry, but the Matthew Perl-less Jets. It looks like he's out for the season.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. The guy who had 4 goals in one game, and now he what was it, a broken arm, I think?
Did you see the picture I think it was on Twitter at one point, where someone had something, I don't even know where it was. Maybe you even sent it to me. Someone had a picture up of like, Crosby had 4 goals in a certain amount of games, and then there's a picture of Perl with all the 4 pucks saying, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I saw that.
Something like that. That was pretty funny. Sorry. Anyways, go back to this game.
So that game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, February 21st, Capitals still at the phone booth welcoming the Islanders. That should be a good game to watch. That game, so early, 12:30, Comcast Sportsnet and the NHL Network.
Oh, I think I'm going to miss the end of that game.
That's an early one.
Dang it. I have to go pick up my girlfriend from the airport. That sucks.
Tell her she has to wait. Tell her to go to Duclaw and watch the game.
You stay in L.A. for a couple more hours. I'm watching the game.
And then on Sunday, February 22nd, the Capitals go up to Philly, up to see the Broad Street Bullies, up against the Flyers. Again, that's 12:30 start, and that one will be on NBC, and I believe that's Hockey Day in America, so they've got lots of hockey on that day. Definitely won't get bored there. And then we won't be back on our normal time on Wednesdays, and that is because Wednesday night, Rivalry Night, February 25th, the Capitals are back home in D.C., welcoming the Penguins for the fourth and final time this year. That game is at 8 o'clock on NBC Sports. So that one's going to be fun and a good one to watch. Will the Capitals come out with a broom? Will they be sweeping the Penguins? I think they will.
Yeah.
I think they will.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, I wouldn't object to it, I guess is what I'm saying, you know. But really, it doesn't matter, because if you go up against them in the playoffs, it's completely a different story. And that I think there's definitely a possibility they can end up playing the Penguins in the first round. Is it this playoffs work now where you have to get out of your division first, basically, right?
I believe so.
So you guys keep getting wins. You got to play well. You got to keep your guys healthy. And do not get involved in this classless stuff that the Penguins are trying in the last game. They're going to come out hitting flying. They're going to be going after Ovechkin and stuff like that. And so, you know, they've got to come out and play their game and let the Penguins do the BS stuff and just score goals and you know, suck it, Penguins.
And Saturday's game up against the Islanders, the division-leading team.
That's a big one. I mean, those are all big ones. They're all the – okay, first of all, you got to show up against the Flyers. That'd be a nice change of pace. But you got all these are what they call 4-point games. Not really so much against the Flyers because they suck. But the Islanders and the the Penguins, those are really important games if you want to jump up on them, because you lose now, you lose in 2 points, but you're giving them 2 more points. You really got to come out and win those games.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to do that this week. Plenty of good hockey to watch. It's a good time to be a Caps fan. If you want to talk Caps hockey with myself or Coach Dan, you can tweet to us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. I actually had an article that came out about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago or less. Actually, 4 minutes ago, the Caps Outsider shared it on Facebook. It's a new article about Mike Green and whether he should be traded or not, and if they do, what they might be able to get for him. A little bit of that in there. So that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Sorry, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you need about this podcast or any of the other podcast photos or videos that we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Also like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Now, we enjoy doing this show. It's absolutely a joy every single week to talk to Coach Dan about the Capitals. And we need you guys to help help us out, though. We want to continue to get bigger and better. We want to take on the world of podcasting. We want people to know that we are a Caps podcast. And that
we're taking over the world of podcasting. Coming after you, Hardwick.
That's right. We're going to take down Kevin Smith and Mark Maron and Chris Hardwick. They're all going down. What the Puck is going to take over the world. We're going to do At Puck Night from now on in Comedy Central. But we need your help. That'll be on the NHL Network. It'll be comedians talking about social media and hockey at Puck Night. I'm telling you.
Called Kevin Smith's podcast.
We should do what?
I don't know. This went completely off the rails. And it's my fault. I apologize.
See, if you just give me like one key word, I will start drifting off.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy.
But listen, you got to let people know. Hey, let everybody know that you're a Caps fan. We make you laugh, but we're also very good and scientific about what is going on with the Capitals. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, or go on Yelp. I don't even care. Go on to Yelp and go to the Hooters in D.C. Say, I go here before I go to Caps games, and I listen to What the Puck while I'm eating wings, drinking beer, and looking at boobs. So that's what you want to do.
If you're over in England, you want to give us a shout out. Appreciate that too.
Hey, we love going across the pond, man. This is internet, man. We're all over the world. We're not just in the U.S. We go to Canada, we go across to the U.K., and all over the place.
I don't think they say A in England.
Well, they like hockey, though. I mean,
all right, moving on.
Yeah. So just be social with the show and let us know that you you shared it, and we'll give you a shout out on the show, man. You know, just everybody do
apparently
their part.
That's what we do.
Yeah, well, you know, let people know about the show and told people about the show. Share our stuff and we'll talk to you and we'll give you a shout out on the show, man. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Until we talk again, remember, we got Islanders, we got Flyers, we got Penguins, we got Jets. We're taking the world on. The Capitals are coming after everybody. This is going to be a great week to be a Caps fan. Plenty of stuff to watch, and you got to cheer them on, whether you're at home or at the phone booth, or if you're in Philadelphia. Well, if you're in Philadelphia, be a little bit quiet, because they'll murder you. But anyway, be proud, be loud, and say, let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Then again, really guessing the weather is all just an educated guess because so many things. Anyways, moving on. We can talk about that.
And here's your weather forecast with Coach Dan.
Well, it's...
It gonna rain.
Family Guy references, of course. They're also... I'm sorry, I did that wrong. Let's back up. I forgot. No, the one is...
They are a hockey town, so it's Hershey, PA. Some gentle humor.
2 points behind third place Greenville. Actually, that should be tied now with fucking hell. I have to do this again because the game tonight messed everything up in my notes. Actually, I want to do it all over again. But
welcome everybody to a brand new edition of What the Puck.
Yeah, seriously.